Hey guys, it's Alana and welcome back for another episode of Seeing Other People. I'm not even going to bury the lead here. I'm just going to come right out and say what I need to say. And that is, I interviewed the Jonas Brothers last week. And to say that that was a dream come true is an understatement, because I think it was like a dream that I didn't even know I had, because in my mind it was so unattainable and so like dreamy. Like and that couldn't have been me that did that, you know? But it was the most like emotional and special and memorable thing I've ever had the experience or the opportunity to do. And a little bit of a backstory for those who are newer to the podcast, newer to me, diehard Jonas Brothers fan since I was 12 or 13, met some of my best friends because of our mutual love for their music, set out to work in the music industry before I worked in dating because of how much their music helped me and how I wanted to help other fans feel so connected to their favorite artists and bands because of how I grew up feeling so connected to them. And Jake, my now fiance, and I met literally because I had a prompt in my profile on an app about loving the Jonas Brothers, and he messaged me that he also loves them. And fast forward, we've now been to 7 Jonas Brothers concerts together. We've traveled for them. It's a huge part of our relationship, and it's all because of them. So the backstory is that basically my whole life has been shaped by the Jonas Brothers, and the fact that I got to sit down with them for about an hour and talk to them about their new music, about their personal growth journeys, about their love stories, about being dads now. It was the most surreal and special thing, I think, ever. So I'm really so excited to be able to share some of that content soon. And hopefully all of it, we'll see. Don't know what's going to happen yet, but cross your fingers with me. We might have some special guests on the podcast soon. No promises, because I don't know, but maybe anything is possible if you just believe, apparently. So that was incredible. The guys were in New York City last week. The guys, my good friends, Nick, Joe, and Kevin, the boys. They were in town for 5 nights last week to do 5 special shows at a Broadway theater, where each night they went back and did a different album from the past because they have a new album coming out. So I went to 4 out of the 5 shows, which, again, beyond my wildest dreams. And I feel so grateful for that. And it was honestly like the most incredible way for Jake and I to celebrate our engagement and to just like have that time together in such a special scenario. That really was so meaningful to us. And oh my God, you guys, the new music is incredible. I can't wait for you to hear it. We're going to get into dating now, because it's not a Jonas Brothers podcast, though. If anyone wants a Jonas Brothers podcast, I'm more than happy to start one. I think maybe that's long overdue and that is my calling. But yeah, I had to share this with you guys. It was just so, so surreal. And I feel so lucky. I feel like there's so much going on in my life right now that I want to be honest. Like, yes, I had this interview. Yes, I got engaged. And I know a lot of people are looking at everything I'm posting on social media. And a lot of friends even are texting me like, oh my God, you're peaking right now. Like, your life is amazing. But I want to just kind of have a moment to keep it real with you guys and express that, like, yes, the last 2 weeks I got engaged, I interviewed the Jonas Brothers, and I went to 4 Jonas Brothers concerts. I went to a bachelorette party. I also, in the last 2 weeks, have been more stressed and anxious and overwhelmed than I have been in years. And I don't want to lose sight of that. I don't want people to think, oh, everything is just perfect. Like, that's not the reality. Yes, these incredible things are happening, but I also have felt so low because it is so much at once. And honestly, for me, it is too much to handle at once. I have such a low social battery. And after like anything I do, I need to like recharge for an entire week. And it's been nonstop. And that's really taken a toll on me. And I've been so drained, like physically and emotionally especially. And I just want to share that because I know I also look at other people's lives and think, oh my God, this person's living my dream and I'm so jealous and nothing bad happens to them. And I'm not saying these incredible things didn't happen to me. Like, they did. And I can't believe that they did. It's like 2 lifelong dream things back to back. But at the same time, I just want to call out that the grass is always greener, and that it has been hard for me to do all of this. Plus now I'm starting wedding planning. Plus I'm like 3 weeks behind on work since I was sick for a week before getting engaged. And then we got engaged and then we were in Florida visiting family. And then I had the bachelorette party and then I came back and all of this Jonas Brothers stuff happened. And yes, it was so amazing. And I'm not trying to like say, oh, I'm a victim, feel bad for me by any means. I just wanted to share that social media is fake. And I don't know. I think my episode a few months ago with Hillary Weinstein really has left an impact where I just want to be really real with you guys about what's going on and share that, you know. We're already starting to wedding plan and I have absolutely zero idea how I'm going to do that. Like it has already been so stressful and overwhelming. And again, it's another thing that should be so amazing, but is causing all of these emotions and this almost like panic in me. And I definitely need to work on like stress management. And I just haven't felt this anxious in a long time. So just wanted to be open and share that with you guys. And thank you for listening. And thank you to everyone who's like congratulated me in the last 2 weeks on everything that's happened. I can't wait to keep sharing more with you. And I hope it's okay that, you know, I took this little time to be vulnerable and open up. All that being said, I do feel really so freaking lucky and grateful. And on the topic of feeling lucky, I feel very lucky to have such an awesome and exciting guest on the podcast today. Maddie Mayo is coming on the show. Maddie, if you don't know her, though you probably do, and if not, you really should. Maddie is the amazing co-host of OK Sis, the podcast that she does with her sister Scout. She is the founder of the app Camber, which is all about sharing your favorite places and discovering new ones. And now she is also the host of a new video podcast series called 36 Questions Later, where she films couples answering the 36 questions that lead to love. I've watched some of the episodes. It is amazing. You guys have to check it out. We have such a fun and exciting episode. You guys are going to love it. We actually answer some of the 36 questions. We hear about her relationship. We hear what she's learned about love from reading. We talk about the like mistakes we made with boys when we were in college. And oh my God, there were so many of them. And we get into so much more. This is one of my favorite episodes and one of the most fun ones. I hope you love it as much as I do. All right, Maddie Mayo, welcome to Seeing Other People.
Oh my God, thank you for having me. We're in New York City.
We are in New York City, and it's a beautiful week in New York City.
I don't know what you guys are talking about, how it's like cold, quote unquote cold here. I feel so at peace, so at home. I fucking love it.
I mean, we have to give credit where credit is due because you showed up here.
I brought the LA sunshine.
You did.
Yeah.
You did. And I'm very grateful. So thank you for doing that.
Of course. I saw someone in like shorts and a t-shirt and I was like, I cannot believe it's February in New York and this man is, and it's true. Like I could totally too.
But when you can, you should.
Of course.
Like I went to school at Syracuse and most of the winter it would be like single digits. And the second it would hit 30, people would be like in shorts drinking outside.
Insane. Whereas LA, it's like 70, you're still in Uggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's wild. So thank you for bringing the sunshine. You guys, for those of you who don't know Maddie, you need to know Maddie. Also, I'm shocked if you don't know Maddie because Maddie is so many things. You are the co-host of OK Sis, the podcast with your sister Scout. You are the founder of the app Camber, which is about sharing your favorite places and discovering new ones. And you now are working on a new project, 36 Questions Later, which I am so excited about because it's something that I honestly have like thought to do.
Really? With who? Or what do you mean?
Like I have for so long wanted to, in a way, like go up to people on their first date and like interview them or like put people together and like film and record their first dates, and you're doing it. So tell us about it.
Exactly. So this is a project that was created by me and my boyfriend. We're obviously big podcast people, and we're super into also video podcasts and storytelling. And we came up with this idea to film blind dates, like first blind dates of people answering the 36 questions that lead to love, like that viral series or like series of questions that went viral on the New York Times. And it's so true. There's like you learn so much about people and behaviors. And so we filmed them, but like I was in the back. So like no one knew that me and my boyfriend were there, like watching from the back. And it was like, it was so cringe, but it was also so beautiful and lovely because, you know, I'm not going to spoil who, but like some definitely like kind of fell in love. And then others, it was like, no, like you, these questions could not get anyone and any of these two people to fall in love. And then one was like this beautiful friendship. Like at the beginning, they felt it was a little off, but then it ended up so beautiful. So it was such an interesting experiment to watch it and to like watch people on blind dates, like when they were, they didn't know that we were watching.
Did they, like, they had no idea you were watching?
No. So like we had the film crew and we had like one woman who was like bringing them in and just like giving them like instructions, but then they were like, you're not, don't look at anyone in the room, like there's gonna be some camera people, but like they'll be hidden. And so it felt like they were alone, like truly alone in the space, and it was really cool.
What do you think would happen, or like how would the success rate of first dates change
if they were filmed,
if people actually did the 36 questions on them?
So look, you get real vulnerable really quick, and I think definitely you feel a lot more empathy towards a person. I don't know, though, if the first date is like there needs to be some mystery, and like the 36 questions leave none. Like there's no mystery. Like you get super vulnerable really quick. But I guess that's also great because then you can really be like, okay, I want to continue with this person. You get like a very good sense of who they are holistically.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's really no mystery after you finish them.
Which on one hand, like maybe you dodged some bullets.
Yeah.
Like instead of finding something out on date 9 that you're not okay with, you just, or on month 9.
Lay it all out there.
Yeah. Exactly. I actually like that. I think there is something to that.
Yeah.
Did you ever do the actual 36 questions?
Yeah. So me and my boyfriend did it when we were first dating. I don't know if it like changed anything I felt towards him. Like we were already like pretty deep into dating. And so if anything, and also I felt like I already knew a lot of like the answers, but they're just, it's a really good, it like throws you off. Like there's certain questions and we'll go through some of them, but like some that you might not even have thought about for yourself. Right. So it's a fun exercise to do if you are already in love with someone.
Yeah. I think there's never like a bad time to do it.
Yeah.
I think I've definitely, like when I went on a lot of first dates in my single days, those were not fun. Yes, they were. Sometimes. Depends. I wanted to, like, not just have the same first date, like, interview, you know?
Yeah.
And so what I would do, I felt weird, actually. I felt weird. Like, I wanted to say, like, let's do the 36 questions that lead to love. But I felt weird saying, like, let's do this thing that leads to love.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, definitely during one of the interviews that will be up, I think, next week or the week after, or one of the dates that we had in the episodes, they were like, oh, are we falling in love? Like, are we going to be husband and wife? Right. We were joking about it, but it is weird. It's pressure, right?
It is.
To have that, like, it leads to love.
Yeah.
And look, I don't know if it does for every single person for sure, but there is definitely a level of just, you know, understanding that you get from a person.
Totally. And I think a good way to do it is, like, if you are trying to do this on a date, you don't have to say it as, like, the 36 questions that lead to love. You can just say, oh, like, my friend sent me this like list of questions that she and she and this person she went on a date with did, and it was really fun. Or what I ended up doing was, I worked at Hinge at the time, but I loved actually pulling out my phone, and I would literally open Hinge. It's not like we don't have dating apps. Like, we literally met on a dating app. It wasn't weird. And I would ask them
the prompts.
Questions and we would go back and forth, and you never know what one answer is going to lead to. And I think that's what's so amazing about these questions is there could be something that you and this person connect so deeply on that you don't know about from the start unless you get into a conversation about it.
Right. I mean, I think there's also this renaissance lately of question card games. I don't know. Like, I just feel like
we're not having really strangers. Let's fucking date.
Everyone has them.
Everyone.
So I feel like whoever made this study, the New York Times was the one that, like, it was a study from a long time ago.
Yeah.
They just kind of, like, made it very popularized in that moment. But there should be a card game of it. And I think then it wouldn't be as weird. It would be more like, we're really not really strangers type of vibe.
Or if, like, a dating app were to do a partnership with
the
study.
The studyist. the person that made this study.
I know. But that would make it, it would like make it more organic.
Sure. Then being like, I'm going to ask you 36 questions that lead to love. And then we're going to be soulmates.
Exactly.
Like, no.
Exactly. And then, because then what happens if you do it on a date with one person and there's all this pressure and like you want it to work out and then you guys end up dating and then you break up and then you don't want to do them again because you're like, well, they were supposed to lead to love and they led to heartbreak.
Yeah, exactly. Proceed with caution.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Should we do some of the questions?
Yes. Let's do them. Okay. We're going to start off easy. Number one, would you like to be famous and in what way?
This is a funny question for me because in a way I'm like a G-list celebrity is what I would say.
Okay.
Like I get recognized now, which is crazy. Growing up, like when I was younger, I wanted to be like a pop star.
Same.
So I always wanted that. Like I wanted to be like a Disney Channel, like Hannah Montana. Sure. Demi Lovato-esque. I would never want to actually be like famous. I feel really bad for celebrities.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the toll that has on their mental health, on their relationships, on their self-worth. Like there's just so much that seems like a downside. Mm-hmm. I would love for what I'm doing to become so successful that as a side effect, yes, I am known for that. But I never want to be like I would never want to be so famous.
Right. Like a Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. Or even like in the podcast world, like I would never want to be like an Alex Cooper.
Really? Okay. So I hear you and I see you. I
feel very heard and seen. Thank you.
So I also grew up, I did theater, so I was like very much like, I want to be a Broadway star, yeah. I want to be a pop star, also Hannah Montana, the whole vibe. Lately, it's been more of want to be recognized for something that is my work and is something that people like really relate to me with, whether that's the podcast or whether that's with my startup. You know, I look to people like an Emily Weiss, who to me is like famous mm-hmm. in my eyes. And that's something that's like a level I feel like I would want to attain where it's like people respect me or look at me as a leader. Right. That is more so. But fuck yeah, I'd love to be famous. Sure.
I love you for owning that.
I agree, though, that, I mean, yeah, given my, like, G-list TikTok fame,
right.
I have had, thankfully, just a few, like, moments with the trolls, and, like, they completely destroyed me. So, like, I would really, really have to figure out how to react and approach. Yeah. I think what I would be really scared about is, like, the cancellation of it all and just being on edge about everything you say or do. And like that would be annoying. Because trolls are just ruthless on TikTok. So I think I would have to figure out my relationship to that before it became a bigger thing.
And I think that's exactly the reason why my answer wasn't the way you phrased it. Like, exactly. Let's be famous. Because for so long, I love attention. Clearly I do this for a living, but in the experiences that I've had with people being mean online, and like for me, this is so stupid and you can't see my ears right now, but like there are mean comments every single day about how big my ears are. Actually,
really?
Hold on. I've never read them, but now's the time.
Oh, okay. Do you have a folder with them?
I take screenshots of them because I send them to Jake and I think it's really funny.
What?
And so all I have to do is type in ears. I did this with a friend recently.
Oh my God.
No, you're going to be blown away. But point being,
sure.
I'm not self-conscious about my ears, and I thank God for that.
Yeah.
Because if people were being mean about my arms or my stomach or something that I actually struggle with.
Right. Then it would
I would not be okay.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my God.
Please hold.
Oh, wow. We're getting a live reading.
A live reading.
Of the trolls.
Yo, with them ears, she probably going to be Dumbo for Halloween. She going to fly away from her exes. Like she can probably hear people's thoughts with those. Why are her ears shaped like Shrek's? She didn't need to cup her ears to hear better, I'm sure. Look at her big ears, LOL. She can hear me talking crap from Canada, eh? Girl, put that ear away.
What the actual fuck? You know what's so funny is, like, I think about the person on the other side of these comments, and I'm just, I feel so sad for them.
I know.
I'm just like, this is what, you have such precious time on this fucking earth, and this
and
is
why
how
are
you plan
why
to
are
spend
you commenting
it
about a stranger's ears?
Like, you are beyond, like, how does this make you feel any better about yourself?
Did you know that when a pin drops 1,000 miles away, you can hear it with your big ass ears?
Oh my God.
Okay, but I don't need the opinion of someone with bigger ears than Dumbo the elephant.
Oh my God. Just like mean tweets on Jimmy Kimmel.
Nobody going to talk about how big them ears are. That shit hears color. Someone asked me if it was a medical condition. Her ears are
now. I kind of want to see your ears. I don't remember them being big.
Your ears are consuming all the sound in the world.
Wait, I don't remember them being big.
They're not. They're normal.
What the literal fuck? Your ears are normal. Your ears are so normal. What are these people talking about?
Oh my God, yeah, this is it. Are your ears natural or some medical condition?
Okay, maybe I need to see the video.
It's everyone. It's every single video. This isn't all from one video. Every single video.
I'm dying. What? Okay. That's just ridiculous.
Anywho.
Well, one thing also I'll say about being famous is I worry sometimes, though, that I would want it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Which is like the validation and thing. Like, that's something I'm definitely learning or trying to unlearn about myself, is like needing to do things for validation, which I believe sometimes if you want to be famous, like, it might be for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
You know, so that's also something to consider.
That's definitely something to consider. But yeah. I'd love to like make it to like D-list. Like, sure. Invite me to everything.
We're well on our way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got this.
I would want to be like Tinks.
Yes.
Where she gets a lot of
shit.
But a little less. Where it's more about like, I'm entertaining people. I'm making people feel good. And it's more like I'm just being myself.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Agreed.
Okay. If you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be? I would be like to completely turn off my anxiety. Just switch off anxiety and just have the ability to completely control my inner dialogue.
That would be beautiful.
Wouldn't that be great? Like, what the fuck? Like, even yesterday, like, I was having such a lovely day with my friends in New York City, and just like, and then, you know, just a crazy, completely insane, anxious thought pops in. I'm like, hey, let's try to not think about that right now. And then I just went on a spiral, and it's like, it ruins everything.
Think about the people in this world who don't have anxiety.
I just, what do you do? Like, what do you think about? So the other day I was like, to my sister, I mean, my sister has bipolar disorder, so she has had her fair share of mental health issues, but she's in a really, really good spot right now because of just like how much work she's had to do. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, you know, when you go to the bathroom, like, what do you think about? Because I have to have TikTok when I go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because I will go on a fucking crazy shame spiral because I can't be alone with my thoughts. I'm a lot better with it now. I used to like shower with a podcast on. I used to like never have no media coming into my brain at any time. And she was like, no, I just go to the bathroom and like it is like I think about the bathroom and this and I leave. And I was like, what the fuck? What is that like?
What a concept.
What is that like?
I don't know. I know what I wouldn't want.
Okay.
Because I feel like that's a common question. Like, what superpower would you want?
Sure.
I would never want to be able to read people's minds.
100% no.
Ever.
So there was this one question that's like, would you want to know everything that, would you want to know anything that people have said behind your back?
Oh my God.
Of course not. Why would anyone want to know that?
Isn't that
insane?
keep it as far behind my back as possible.
My God. Oh my God. No.
I think. Okay. Ask me the question again. I just
want
to hear.
If you could wake up with one quality or ability.
I think I want the ability to not care so much about what people think.
Yes. That's really hard to cultivate as you grow up.
Whether it's people like followers or just people online who see my videos, or I think even more so like friends.
Yeah.
People in my life. Like, I am a huge people pleaser. And it has definitely gotten me into trouble. And like, I feel like I'm, yes, sometimes I can be selfish, which as I should be, I need to take care of me. But I feel like I often think of everybody else before I think of like, well, what do I need? And like, what would make me happy? And I'm not saying like I'm a saint for that, but like I overcommit myself. I overwhelm myself. I overbook myself. I try and go out of my way for like everyone else. And like, I don't take care of myself sometimes. And that gets really hard. And then I always worry like, well, if I put this video about this thing, like, is this going to offend this one person? Or if I like don't open this DM, but I post something, like, are they going to think I'm ignoring? It's just like, it never stops.
That's really fascinating. I definitely have a level of that, the caring what people think. I'm not as much a people pleaser. I don't love confrontation. So if I could avoid confrontation at all costs, or like, yeah, be like, oh, you're right. Like,
yeah,
like, let's just, you know, whatever. If you're mad at me, I'm sorry. And like move on, which is not great. But the caring about what other people think, especially when it comes to creating content, I kind of, it's a weird thing because it has never stopped me from actually posting. So I'm really grateful for that. But there is like the crazy spiral that happens afterwards. It's, yeah, like the aftermath of posting and then being like, oh my God, are my people from high school going to think I'm weird or whatever?
Yeah.
And honestly, I just kind of, I've just decided, one, it's so okay not to be for everyone.
Yeah.
It's really hard to accept that. But once you do, it's more of a liberating thing than it is like an anxiety inducing thing, because then you realize that you don't have to be anything other than yourself.
Yeah.
Right? You will, and you'll weed out the people that are not supposed to be in your orbit. And then you attract the people that are going to be so engaged, so loyal to you, are going to show up for you.
Yeah.
And I think of it in that way. Rather than, oh my God, the people who are leaving are like thinking I'm cringe or thinking, it's like, no, great, because they're literally decreasing my engagement rate. Goodbye.
Right.
You know?
Right. I was listening to this podcast yesterday, Elevation Nation, with this guy, John C. something. Mm-hmm. He just went to grad school at Harvard, and he's been a teacher at a high school for over 20 years. And he seems like he's this incredibly like wise and insightful person. And he was saying that he spent a lot of time in this, like, he like went to grad school when he was like in his like 40s or 50s, something like that. And he spent a lot of time that year like thinking and reflecting on making decisions and how one decision or how one conversation impacts so much more than just that one conversation. And I really took away this one thing he said, where it was like, every single decision you make will impact people. Mm-hmm. It's going to make some people happy. It's going to upset other people. Like, if I, you know, decide to go out to dinner with friends instead of, you know, having dinner with Jake,
right?
Like, maybe my friends will be happy. Maybe Jake will be bummed. Yeah. And then who knows what Jake is going to go on to do. Like, maybe he'll be in a bad mood if I canceled on him. And then he'll be negative to someone else he's with, who then from that negative experience might then feel negative energy.
Right.
Versus the people who I am spending my time with. Maybe that goes really well. And then they're spreading this positivity because of this positive experience they had. And then maybe there are other things that I could have been doing. Maybe there was work that I needed to be doing that night that I yeah. wasn't doing, that I'm now falling behind. And maybe, you know, the person who I owe this thing to is like, well, Alana, like, where is it? And yeah. they get here. It's like, it's a web of literally impact.
You cannot please everyone. Exactly. So like, if that's inevitable, then you should just stop trying, because you're setting yourself up for failure every yeah. time if you're trying to please every single person.
Yeah.
It's opportunity cost. Like, literally, you're, yeah, choose what you're going to do, stick to that decision, and just, like, just don't feel, like, just be that positive force for, like, whatever yeah. you decide to do.
Yeah. And it's okay to, like, not do everything. Oh, like, you can't please everyone. So, yeah, that's what I'm working on.
Okay. Love it. I love it. Okay, last one. If you were going to become a close friend with your partner, please share what would be important for her to know.
So I looked at the list of questions last night.
Okay.
And this is actually one I struggled with. And I like wanted to ask some of my friends and I didn't. Like, what about me?
I know. I kind of read this as like more of a partner thing. So if it was, if we were going to be in romantic partnership, they have to know that I like am like a sweaty person and need it to be like 65 degrees in the apartment at all
times.
Wow,
you're in Brett's friendship is perfect.
Oh, it's perfect. Yes.
Shout
out Super Drip. We are super sweaty people. And the funny thing is my boyfriend loves to be hot. And so that was something like to this day, the only things that we fight over or like get super irritated about is like, I'm like, I need to put on the AC right now. And he's like, I'm gonna catch a cold. I'm like, put on a sweater. I cannot get naked right now.
That's so funny.
So that is like the one thing if I ever had to like go out and date again, I would have to be like, yeah, we need it to be cold inside. Yeah,
that's so funny. At night, he wants it to be like freezing. I don't need it to be freezing, but I need like 5 blankets on me.
Sure.
So in that sense, we go to sleep every night and he just has like the sheet and the main like comforter.
Right.
I have the sheet, the comforter, and then 2 to 3 blankets on top.
Oh my God.
Just on my just side. Cozy. It's like so uneven. Yeah. I need to be held in by the blankets.
Sure, sure, sure. And I'm a big sweatsuit girly. So it's like, I'll be wearing a sweatsuit and then Ben will be like, well, take like change.
But
like,
you want to be comfy like, in your sweatsuit.
I'm like, excuse me. Like,
yeah.
If I could put it to 65 and be in my cozy sweatsuit and Uggs inside, like that's my prerogative.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. This is helpful. Now I feel like I can do this. Okay. I think for me, it's that I need reassurance because I'm going to second guess myself and I'm going to overthink and like make up all these stories in my head. And I actually think that that is why Jake and I started our relationship off on such a strong, like on the right foot, because I didn't even communicate that to him. But from the start, he was just so communicative. And so I never had to question, well, like, am I going to see him again or what's he thinking? Because he was telling me.
Oh, that's good.
And that just calmed my anxiety so much that I felt comfortable instantly.
Yeah. I feel like you don't hear that a lot with
men.
Yeah. Where it's like playing games or playing hard to get and all these things. It's so funny because I've been dating Ben for 7 years.
Yeah.
So I like didn't have to do the apps. I didn't do any dating in my 20s at all. So when I hear people talk about dating or like the beginning of dating and commute and like fuck boys and like how much, you know, all these things, even when I listen to Tinks and her podcast and just, I'm so grateful that we found like nice boys, but it's terrible. Like it's so fucking terrible out there.
It really is. And that's one thing I wanted to ask you. So you guys met in college.
Yeah.
First question, how did you meet?
We were both interns at Hillel.
Oh my God.
Of course. I'm dying. Of course.
That's beautiful.
I know. Wow. How cute is that? The internship at Hillel was basically like you had to put on a like activity or program or something. And so I did a yoga class that I taught every Saturday morning. It was called Shalom Yoga.
My God.
I should have trademarked that. And it was so embarrassing. Like I'm like definitely culturally Jewish. I'm not religious at all, but like we had to incorporate some sort of Judaism into these things. So I would like somehow relate it to like the Parsha of the week. And I'd be like, oh, Abraham did this. So like mindfulness and like, let's be kind to others. Like it was so dumb. But so I would do that. And then he did like a hiking club or something. And so we became friends and we were friends first for a long time and then turned into more.
How did that transition happen? But first I have to share another punny Jewish name. My best friend Sarah was in a Jewish a cappella group called Oi Cappella.
Oh my God. That's incredible. Was this at college?
Yeah, at Syracuse.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Tracks.
How did this transition from friends to dating happen? Because I actually get questions about that all the time. Like, I think I might be into my like best guy friend or like we've been friends for so long. How do I broach this topic or see if like he's interested without making things weird? Like, will it ruin the friendship?
Yeah. I mean, we weren't even like that close. So I don't think it was a
will it ruin the friendship? What would we right. do? Yeah.
Yeah. So we were just more so in the same like peripheral, I feel like, friend group. And then I actually was hooking up with one of his friends who did not like me. Like,
oh my God.
Did like, talk about, it's funny. I was talking to my friend who I'm staying with here in New York about just like shit we used to do for guys that yeah.
oh my God
that we like.
It's so embarrassing.
So this is, I'll tell a story. So this Please. Is the guy that I was hooking up with. I was not even dating him, hooking up with before Ben. And I would text him, be like, hey, like, what are you doing tonight? And then he'd be like, oh, want to come over? I would go there and he would be playing video games for hours,
and you just sit.
What, I was just sitting like, yeah, I'm cool. Like, I'll just watch you guys. Like,
you're the, oh, I'm the chill girl. I'm the chill girl. Like, let them play video games. Yeah. And just be around.
And I just like complete. Like, he, like, what was yeah. I doing? Like, what kind of, like, I had such low self worth yeah. and, just crazy things like that. That, you know, you just like don't want to see the signs back then. And yeah. like, I remember being like, I'm not going to text him. And then he texted me to like invite me to one of like the frat, whatever. And I was like, oh my God, what does that mean? I was like, no, because you like probably had sex with him like the last person he had sex with. And he was like, yeah, it's a sure thing that Maddie will go with
right,
me.
Right, exactly.
It was nothing more than that, right? It's like yeah. overthink into these things. Oh, I just wish I could tell my younger self, like, just shut, like, get the fuck away from this guy.
And anyways. Just, like, do you.
Yeah, like, who, like, why do you need validation from this person? And why, it was such a weird self-worth thing. And, I don't know, I learned so much about myself through that. But anyway, so Ben and I'm not really sure how the first, like, transition happened. But, like, he had come over to hang out with me and then just kissed me.
Did you think that was going to happen?
No. Like, we were very much friends, and then he just kissed me, and then I was like, oh my God, wait, I, like, should we have, sorry.
Guys, Barkley's just, like, staring at us and, like, softly growling, and I'm, like, making so much room for him on yeah. my chair for him to come up, and he's just not.
Barkley, chill.
Come here.
There you go. Oh!
Okay, now he's on Maddie's lap.
Okay, wait, no! Barkley, sit down.
Barkley. Wait, I'm dying.
Okay, sit. Are you gonna pee? Is he gonna pee on me?
No. He's not gonna pee on you. I'm dead. Okay.
His butt's like up in the air. Why? Why don't you go to mommy?
Barkley.
Go to mommy.
Come here.
There we go.
Come here. I'll make room. I'm making room. I'm not in the chair anymore. Oh, it's your chair now.
Oh my God.
Wait. We're tangled. Oh my God. Okay, so he comes over and kisses you.
So he comes over and he kisses me. And then I was like, oh, like, should we have sex? And I was like, more because, like, I hadn't had sex in so long. And then he also hadn't had sex in so long. So we were both like, yeah. And I was like, okay, well, I, like, need to shave.
Did you discuss this?
Yeah.
Like, did you say, like, oh, I haven't had sex in a while? And yeah. he was like, yeah, same.
Yeah.
Should we just do it? Okay.
Yeah. Like, it was, we were just friends. Like, it was, yeah. like, more about.
And then you were like, I need to go shave first?
Yeah. So I went to the bathroom and I literally shaved. Because I was like, there's no way. Like, I've never had sex, like, not shaven.
Right.
This was, like, when I was 20, I don't know. And so then that happened. And then we just, like, kept hooking up. We like, hooked up for a while all of senior year. Like, for my first semester, and then I graduated a semester early, and then we became boyfriend and girlfriend after that.
Did you think at the time that this was just a fling or like a college relationship? Like, would you ever have imagined 7 years later you'd be here together?
Not really. I mean, the thing that I love about my relationship with Ben is that it always felt like a steady incline, whereas it didn't have that like crazy. Bless
you. We're doing great.
Guys, we're doing so great. It didn't have like that crazy lust
yeah.
and then decline, which yeah. I'm so grateful for. And that's why I have so much confidence that we're going to be together forever is because yeah. it just keeps growing. Whereas I feel like usually and just what I've heard and history of relationships, there's like such a peak and such and then a decline
yeah.
because people get out of that honeymoon phase or get out of that lust phase. And I love that we've just steadily grown so much. And honestly, we started living together 2 years ago. And it's like a whole new relationship. Like I'm like, what were we even doing before? Like, were we even in a relationship before?
Yeah.
And so it feels so much deeper now and so much more connected. And so like, yeah, like at the time, I don't think I thought it would be this, you know, I was going to marry this guy. Like that wasn't right. Like a, oh, it's like love at first sight. No.
Yeah.
I also like don't believe in the one and any of that. So I just feel so grateful that that's like the type of love we've had.
Yeah. What about the fact that you guys have been together through like such transformative years of your life? How have you been able to grow together, but also as individuals?
So we're very independent, which I also think is a really great thing about a relationship. Like we have very completely different friend groups. We don't really have any friends in common, which both of us really enjoy that because it feels just a lot more, it feels like we can go our separate ways and then we come back together and it's like this beautiful union and like we share things with just one another. And I just feel like there's such a special and like uniqueness about us together, but everything we've done is separate and we're just so supportive of one another. And so it's just like, it works.
I think one of the key things there is that you're both independent.
Yeah. Like if one of us was codependent or like
very
jealous or something, oh my God, it wouldn't work at all.
Yeah.
But we're each we just make sure to make time for ourselves, especially when you're living with someone. It's so easy to be like, oh, I live with them, so I don't have to, you know, plan a date night or whatever. Yeah. But that's actually not the case. Like we only see each other in passing usually. And like, yes, we come together in the nighttime and talk through our days. But until you really make an effort to like go on that date night or like spend time together, it's like you lose all that time.
Yeah. And I think that's so important for even just like living with your friends. You know, I lived with two of my best friends with Kerwin and Sass out of college. And part of it was, so the two of them both got boyfriends like instantly within like the first like 3 months of us graduating and moving to the city and living together. And I was single. And so immediately I felt like the odd one out. Mm. But then they, like, we all had separate friend groups and they had their boyfriends and I was going on dates and we never made plans with each other because it was like, oh, well, we see each other at home.
Yeah, it's really important to like make those plans.
Yeah. And so for so long, like probably like a full year out of the 2 years that we lived together, it was like, are we even, like we didn't make a single plan. Like we didn't do anything other than like pass by in the apartment.
Yeah, that's so true. It's you notice it really quick too.
Yeah. Are the majority of your friends, would you say, single or in relationships?
Everyone is in a relationship. Everyone's getting married.
Wow.
Every single person is getting married. And it's like so weird because I feel like we're too young to get married. Yeah. I just can't believe we're at an age where people are getting married. But it is so true. The minute all of your friends start getting married, you're like, oh, I could get married. Like, I obviously knew me and Ben are going to get married, but I was like, oh, I'm not going to get married until like 35.
That's so far.
And I also just never thought of myself as a wife. Like, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just like a misogynist or like, I don't know. Like, I'm thinking of like wifely roles and duties.
Like, it's like matronly.
What the fuck? I'm not a wife. Like, I still call my dad and like ask for help. Like, that's not a wife, you know? And so obviously like we can define it as whatever we want, but it's just so funny how I like did not identify with that role at all. And then all my friends are like starting the process and are about to get married. And so I was like, oh, wait, Ben, let's get married.
If they can do it, so can we.
We can do it. Yeah. I feel like it's gonna be the exact same thing for babies.
Yeah.
I can't imagine having a baby at all right now. And so like, I know that's going to be the same type of vibe.
Has that changed even like 1% after seeing your sister have a baby and like go through pregnancy?
Absolutely not. because I basically get to scratch the itch without having a baby. Like being an aunt is so underrated. You get to have all the benefits. I literally get to smush her and get to cuddle with her when she's like cute and cuddly. And then she starts crying and I'm like, oh,
you're like, oh, this isn't my child.
I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go. Like, it's like so nice. I once wiped her vagine and it was I mean, look, like, it is a vagine. It's a little baby vagine. So you just do what you can. But I, at first, I was like, I'm not whipping her. And my sister was like, yes, you fucking are. Like, get in there. I was like, all right. So I did. I wiped her vagine for the first time. It was only pee, though. I don't think I could do the poop.
You haven't changed a diaper?
I didn't do it. She, like, helped me.
Yeah.
I'm so annoying.
Well, so, okay, see, my thing is I've had zero exposure to babies. Like, no.
This is the first one. This is the first baby I think I've ever held.
I've held two babies in my life. Yeah. And the first was when I worked at Hinge, my CEO's wife brought their baby and their, 2-month-old baby and just, like, handed it to me. And I didn't ask for it. And I was like, I don't know what to, like, and I just started working there. I'm like, I don't know what to do with this thing. Like, I'm scared right now.
It's because you don't want to, like, mess it up because it's a baby. And so it's, and then if it starts crying, you're just like, I don't know what to do. It's very strange. I mean, being an aunt though, you just give her back. And you're just like, okay, you take care of her now. But she's just every day. I'm like, okay, where's like the new photo of her?
Right.
I need to see a photo every single day.
Every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
She's the cutest ever.
Your friends who are all getting married.
Yeah.
Are they dating people that they met on dating apps for the most part or like just like after college?
So one was, USC, but like did it like knew each other from college, but then like started dating after college. Yeah. And then also, I mean, Brett and Michael, they knew each other. I was friends with Michael before Brett was. And so she knew of Michael because of me and like whatever, but then they saw each other on Hinge. Then they were like, we know each other. So, so there's that. But then, and then my other, oh my God, all of them were from college. They met college and then.
That is crazy.
And then started dating after college.
After college.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel like all of my friends who are getting married.
Dating apps
or work?
Okay. Work I've heard too. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the work culture in New York is so different from LA. I definitely think that it's a big factor of finding friendships and finding relationships in LA, but there's not much of that culture of like going to drinks after work unless you're in the industry.
I feel like it's the opposite because all of my friends who are in the industry
all
they do Monday through Friday is they go to drinks after work.
Let me take that back. So Ben used to work at WME and like every night they were at drinks, but like I do not touch the industry or entertainment. I'm so far removed from it. So it's like, I obviously am more in like the tech and like creator space. So like, that's not the vibe. But yes, in the industry, it's like very much a thing.
Do you think dating in LA is harder in general than other places?
I mean, I have no idea because I never had to do it, thankfully. But I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think because New York, I feel like just everyone's out and about and just like you meet people like just even walking down the street kind of thing, where it's like with LA, it's a little more isolating and you have to like really make an effort or like a plan to like get out there. Yeah. But I also just don't think like I was listening to Jay Shetty on Ed Milet's podcast and like obviously he's on like a whole crusade because he just wrote that book on relationships. And he was saying like if you're not a type of person that, like, goes out to bars or, like, goes, like, you're not a big partier, like, why are you going to a bar to meet someone? You know? It's, like,
so true.
Go do something that where your values align. Like, if you like to volunteer, if you like a book club, if you like to work out. That's why there's this amazing community in LA called the Venice Run Club. And, I mean, I wish I was I have FOMO because I want to be part of it, but I hate running with, like, all my passion.
Yeah.
But it's, like, it's become such a community.
Yeah.
And basically they do something where if you're new to the run club, you have to stand up and be like, are you single or not?
Oh my God.
Because so many couples form from it because it's like you have this shared passion and,
I need to text my friend / neighbor. I'm not going to put her on blast right now, but you know who you are. She is in a run club here.
Yes.
And she recently went on a date or she went on a few dates with this guy from her run club. And now she's like, actually, like, I really just think he's boring and like now I have my eye on this other guy from the run club.
Oh, no!
And we were all out to lunch and I think he's single and I'm like this needs to be a reality show.
No, for sure. So there's also something in LA which I'm not a sporty girly, so like I don't know I wish there was an equivalent for non-sporty people, but there are like intramural sports. And like my friend just moved to LA and she joined like a softball league or something.
I know people on softball leagues in LA.
And I'm just like, first of all, ew, like I would never do that. But like second, she said they're all hooking up with each other. Yeah. They're all best friends. They all go out. It's like she literally found a whole group of friends just from the stupid softball. I was like, do you guys like actually play? Like, could I just go and just like pretend to be there? And she was like, I mean, we kind of like whatever. It's like we get drunk and go. I was like, okay, well then maybe I could do that.
I've had friends join like kickball leagues and stuff. And I think it's so fun. And like, last year I said to Jake, like, we should join a kickball league. Yeah. And he was like, oh, that sounds fun. Like, I'll text like the guys. I'm sure like them and all their girlfriends like would be down. I'm like, no, like, I feel like it'd be fun to just like meet join like a random one to meet new people. And he thought that was the funniest thing I've ever said. Like, he told everyone, like, Alana wanted to join a kickball league to meet new people. Like, who does that? And I'm like, why not? Like, it's what's so wrong with meeting new people? He's like, you know too many people.
I know it's funny because I lived in LA for 10 years. I went to school there. So I really didn't need to meet new people in Los Angeles. But after creating Camber, we started to do all these community events and like in-person things. And we do this walk club where around like 100 people show up. And majority of people, which I didn't even like realize as I was starting Camber, was our audience, are people who just moved to the city in the past 6 months. And it makes so much sense because like,
They don't know people. Looking for communities and places.
And they're looking for a community. They love to discover. They want to try out new restaurants, try out new places in the city. And like, that's literally all that Camber is. And so it was so fascinating to me. I kept asking. People would come alone. They were trying to meet friends. And I basically like facilitated this space without like even thinking about like meeting new people.
It's
very interesting. So I'm now very like involved in like the freshly new LA residents.
That's so funny.
But I love creating that space for people because it's the number one question we get, and like where to meet new people, how to find people, where to meet like emotionally stable men in the city. And I'm just like, I don't know.
Yeah, Maddie, where?
I'm sorry. I can't help you.
Yeah.
But it's more that people are just looking, and it's just so like, you don't want to come off cringy. You don't want to like how do you find people to just hang out with? And it's, I'm happy to like be some small part in like helping people get situated in their new home.
I love that. I have two final questions for you. First, you are an avid reader.
I sure am.
You are. What have you learned about love from the books that you've read?
Yeah. So I'm a big romance girly. I love romance novels. And at first I, like most people, like poo-pooed them and was like, I'm like a literary fiction girl. Like I am so above, you know, romance.
What did you study in college?
Business.
Have you always loved reading?
Always.
Okay, wow.
But I used to read like straight up fiction and like self-help books and business books.
Got it.
And then it was in the pandemic. This woman that I listened to on NPR, I'm sounding like a fucking loser. This girl who I listened to on NPR was like, oh, there's this book. It's called The Hating Game by Sally Thorne. And I was like, oh, like I trust this, you know, she's a very intellectual woman. Like I'm going to read it. It was porn. It was like straight porn. And I was like, oh my God, is this what I'm missing? Like, is this what people are reading? I was floored. And I was like, and then I became obsessed and addicted.
Oh my God.
And to the degree where, I mean, I read like probably a book a week, and I've read every single romance novel under the sun. And like, I've read every cheesy one, but I've also read like really, really good ones and good ones with actual like prose and, you know, ones that I just everything. And I even invited on all of, like, my favorite authors to come on OK Sis. And we did like a whole romance like author series. And I've done book clubs. Like I love romance novels. What did I learn about love, though? I mean, not a lot. Like,
okay,
honestly,
hot take. That's interesting.
They're very, very unrealistic. You know, sometimes I do have to like check myself because you get when you read them, you're just like, oh my God, the first time I had sex with this person, I didn't like see stars and like right. literally have an orgasm the minute they touched me. Like, is something wrong with me? So there is a bit of that where, although I think that romance novels are doing so much for female sexuality and helping women understand what they want or all any of these things, it was...
Barkley, guys, just, I just pretended to throw a ball. Barkley did not buy it.
Okay, you could just chill.
We're almost done, Bark.
It's fine if you could just chill. There we go. Anyways, but... from like a love perspective, I don't know if I've learned like too much. If anything, like they just get me in the mood.
Yeah.
They're good. I don't know. They're just like so feel good. I like to read them and then I can go have sex with my boyfriend and it's like a nice little like.
Yeah. Appetizer.
Yeah. It's like a nice appetizer. Nice. Exactly.
Love it.
I don't know. I think everyone should read romance novels. They're amazing. They're great.
I started my reading journey.
Okay.
I probably read like 7 books last year, which is probably more than I've read in my entire life.
Wow. Okay.
And I'm very proud. Like, there's a bookshelf behind me.
I was going to say, I like many of the books that you have there.
Yeah.
So what was number one?
Let's see. Number one. Okay. So
you read Ugly Love. Okay.
I didn't like Ugly Love.
Oh, I love.
I did not like Ugly Love.
How many other Colleen Hoover books have you read?
I read Verity.
I am a known Verity hater, which I'm the.
Really?
I am the minority. I'm the minority. I know.
Wow.
The thing is, and I've told this on many podcasts, like I read it in Tulum.
She has.
Which is not the environment to read such a book. I also didn't know it was a straight up horror movie. So I just was not prepared and I didn't want to read. I was like on the beach, like trying to have an enjoyable vacation. And I was like, oh, this is a horror movie.
November 9.
So I still haven't read November
9. That was my favorite one.
A lot of people say that.
My favorite, my favorite book I've ever read. I read it in a day and a half. I've never said that in my life about anything.
Yeah. Colleen Hoover will do that to you. The thing about Colleen Hoover is every book has polar like people on both sides either love it or hate it. It's never in the middle.
I feel like that's happening whenever I post about a Taylor Jenkins Reid book. Also, people either love or hate them.
Are you serious? Because I can't find one person on the fucking internet that doesn't like Evelyn Hugo.
You have
people that don't like Evelyn Hugo.
Like, it was okay.
People are wet for that book. People are obsessed.
I liked
it.
I like Malibu Rising also.
Malibu Rising was my favorite.
I just started Daisy Jones and the Six.
So I am also, I'm in the very minority again.
Who hasn't?
Where I didn't love it.
Didn't love it, okay.
I think only, the format is incredible.
I like the format a lot. Yeah. I think it's very cool.
So it's very unique. I just don't do well with like drugs stuff and like.
Haven't gotten there yet.
Okay. You'll see drugs, but. I don't know. I also just, like, don't love that era, even though obviously it's amazing, but I don't know. Like, Malibu Rising was perfect. The 90s Malibu. Oh, like, put me there. Like, that
Malibu
was.
Malibu Rising was great. Oh, the tennis one.
Carrie Soto.
Yeah, so love Carrie Soto. I also was a tennis player my whole life.
Okay, that makes sense. So, there was a lot of tennis.
There was a lot of tennis.
There was a lot of tennis in that book. I am a known non-tennis person, so I learned a lot and I think the writing was incredible. You felt like you were actually in a tennis match, which is so cool. But yeah, it got just a little repetitive. I was like, okay, we're back in tennis. Oh, there's another tennis. Okay.
Yeah.
Like it was a little repetitive.
I need to say, I'm so proud of myself that I'm able to have this conversation right now.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I know. This is crazy.
Aren't books incredible?
They are.
There's nothing I love more in this world. I love books.
Have you ever wanted to write one?
Never. Yeah. I could never. I think about all the sex scenes that I read and I'm just like, I wonder how it would go if I tried to write
one.
That'd
be so funny to like just do it as an activity.
Such an art. It is such an art. And I interviewed like top romance novelists like Emily Henry. I also interviewed Sally Thorne, Christina Lauren, Jasmine Guillory, Helen Huang, like very like sexy, sexy writers. And I asked every single one of them, like, what their process was. Like, some people get drunk. Like, some people, you just, like, and other people are like, oh, I can write it literally on a plane next to someone. Like,
oh, my God.
I don't care. I'm just, like,
seeing someone doing that.
Like, they are so, and it's so funny. I just, like, it's their job. Like, if that's what they have to do. But it's such a talent because it could so easily come off very cheesy. And just, I mean, some of them do. Believe me. I've read a lot. And some of them are just, like, How did that feel like I was having sex with this person?
Yep. That's so funny.
Wow, I'm so proud of you too.
Thank you.
Can I give you some recommendations?
I would love recommendations. Okay.
So there are a few books that I can't shut the fuck up about. Okay. And I feel like I'm writing them down. Okay, number one.
Guys, I'll share all these.
They're going to be romance heavy, but they're not going to be like cheesy romance. Okay. Number one is Every Summer After by Carly Fortune. This book, to this day, I have a book hangover from.
Wow.
Okay. It was, talk about like reading it in one day. I read it in one day. It was incredible. Number two is The Roughest Draft. It's by a couple. Just look up the, because I don't remember their names. They're too long.
I'll find it.
Very good. Number three is Funny You Should Ask.
Okay.
By Alyssa Sussman. I also love a celebrity trope. I love when it's like about a celebrity and like a non-celebrity.
Yeah.
Love that trope.
That was always my dream.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a very big like fantasy. So I love when books have that. And then the other one, which is like the number one, is The Idea of You by Robin Lee. Now, as a Jonas Brothers fan, we were talking ad nauseum before this about Jonas Brothers.
That we were.
So this is about like a Harry Styles-esque. Are you a Harry Styles stan?
Not the way I am with the Jonas Brothers, but like big
just
fan.
Just pretend that it's like a Jonas Brothers type of band, but it's basically a One Direction type band. And then it's about this mom who brings her kids to the One Direction concert, and then they go backstage, like they do a meet and greet. And then the like Harry Styles of the band basically like falls in love with the mom, and she's 40 and he's like, I guess 20 or so. And they have this like love affair. I mean, she's like kind of she meets him all over the world to go on tour with him. But she's like also this sophisticated woman and like has her whole own life. And it is like, just pretend.
I need to read that.
It's Nick Jonas and you'll just be like.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And so they're also making a movie, and it's with Anne Hathaway. And then I don't know the guy.
Wow. Okay.
I'm going to die. I'm so excited. But to this day, I think about that book every day. Every day.
When you wake up in the morning.
I'm just like, my God. And the funny thing is, I was never a Harry Styles person. And then I read this book and I was like, oh my God, I think I'm a Harry Styles person.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I love that. I will be listening. Reading. Yeah, I'll be reading.
Thank you.
See, I'm still getting used to reading. My final question for you, and I'm curious, knowing you've been in a relationship for so long, what you're going to say. Okay. But this I ask to every guest. What is the best piece of dating advice you've ever received?
Oh, my God.
And we can make it a little more broad, relationship advice.
Okay. But... I'm trying to even think who has given me relationship advice.
Or heard anywhere, or just have to give based on your experience.
Oh, okay. That's better.
Great. We're flexible.
Oh my God, I've never been like stumped before.
We did it.
We so Barclay.
Barclay's definitely blocking the video now.
Oh my God, Barclay.
Big head. Okay.
Okay. I think I'm just going to say, I feel like this is kind of cheesy, but... like the level of support. Okay. Like supporting your partner wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the advice is, but I have just seen other relationships where one of the partners didn't support them in their side projects or, you know, them wanting to leave their job and like do this huge risky thing. And I've seen partners not be like, the number one cheerleader. And so I took it for granted for a long time because Ben is like, there have been many, many days where I'm like, oh, I'm done with Camber. I'm quitting. Like, I'm fucking done. And he'll be like, no, no, no. Like, go back to the computer, do one other task. And he'll, like, he is the number. And he puts things in perspective for me that, you know, when I'm really clouded with anxiety or anything, he'll just be like, remember when you did this, 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 and he'll just really bring me back and be able to put me back into that space. So I just, if I could be that for him, like I try to emulate that for him, and I also just feel like partners.
You're okay. Berkeley, we're literally almost done.
You're okay. Don't worry. So, no. We're okay. Lord, he is so cute. Okay, anyways, but I think just if you are in a relationship, like showing that insane level of support to a degree that you might think it's too much, but it has been something that I couldn't get that from any other person. And he is just so that person for me.
And the fact that it's mutual, like you support him in that way and he supports you in that way, like that I think is the most important.
Yeah.
Because I've been in relationships where I would have done like 150%. And I'm like, oh, well, if they can only like support me 50%, it's okay. Because I'm like overcompensating and making up for that. Like, no, it has to be both of you like all in there for each other, lifting each other up, knowing what each other needs.
And that's like, honestly, that's the best part about being in a relationship, you know? Like, yes, of course, the lust and the love is great, but there's like, if I could just have that level of support for my whole life, like that's all I need. That's literally all I need, you know? And it's just, it's something so, it's just, if you can, if you're in a relationship or like looking to be like, that makes such a difference when you're just so obsessively supportive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing else like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Truly.
Love that. Maddie, thank you so much for being here.
This was so fun. Now I'm going to go to Levain because I'm a basic bitch. Ooh, and I saw that you're around the corner. I have still never had it. They're opening one in LA. And so I DM them and I'm like, hi, like I need to come to the opening and take content for you. But I was like, wait, we're right around the corner. So I will be going there.
I'm very excited for your first Levain experience. Yes. And I'm also, I think I'd like everyone to acknowledge my strength in not going every day because it is literally
I was going to say
100 steps away.
How do you do such a thing?
It's really tough being me, you know? Yeah. Where can everybody find you and everything that you are working on?
Yes. Well, you can watch 36 Questions Later on YouTube and Spotify. I would highly recommend, you can listen to it as a podcast, but
it's very cool to watch.
It's like really, really well made and well filmed. So the Spotify, it feels like you're watching Call Your Daddy. Call Her Daddy. It's so great because you can like switch between the video and the audio. It's really unique. And you can just type in Sycamore Content 36 Questions Later. And then for me, you can follow me at Maddie Mayo on all the socials. And then you can listen to OKSYS Podcast anywhere.
Amazing.
And Camper, if you want to.
If you're new to LA.
If you're in Los Angeles, you're looking for cool shit to do and places to go, follow us at Camper App on Instagram or TikTok.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here. To everyone who tuned in, thank you for listening. I will see you guys next time. And until then, I'll be seeing other people.